Welcome to day 261 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and we are reading today from the book of Ezra, chapters 4, 5, and 6. And we will enter the place in history where the people who have returned to Jerusalem are getting ready to start rebuilding the temple, and yet they come up against some serious opposition from their enemies, which is a message to us that when you try to do the will of God, there will be opposition, and how the prophets had to come in and encourage them, and how God intervened on their behalf with the king back in Babylon to allow them to continue the work. So starting in Ezra chapter 4 in the Amplified Translation, we'll begin our reading at verse 1. Now when the Samaritans, the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin, heard that the exiles from the captivity were building a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel, now governor, and to the heads of the fathers' houses and said, "Let us build with you, for we seek and worship your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, "You have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God, but we ourselves will together build to the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the Samaritans, the people of the land, continually weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled and terrified them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose and plans all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius II, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, in the beginning of his reign, the Samaritans wrote to him an accusation against the returned inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Later, in the days of King Artaxerxes, Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabiel, and the rest of their associates wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the letter was written in the Syrian or Aramaic script and interpreted in that language. Rehum, the Persian commander of the Samaritans, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, of this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the Persian commander, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their associates, the Dinaites, the Apharsachites, the Tarpalites, the Apharsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susanchites, the Dahites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Osnapar deported and settled in the city of Samaria and the rest of the country beyond west of the Euphrates River and so forth. This is a copy of the letter which they sent to King Artaxerxes. Your servants, the men beyond, that is west of the river Euphrates and so forth, be it known to the king that the Jews who came up from you to us have come to Jerusalem. This rebellious and bad city they are rebuilding and have restored its walls and repaired the foundations. Be it known now to the king that if this city is rebuilt and the walls finished, then they will not pay tribute, custom, or toll, and the royal revenue will be diminished. Now because we eat the salt of the king's palace, and it is not proper for us to witness the king's discredit, therefore we send to inform the king, in order that a search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers, in which you will learn that this is a rebellious city, hurtful to kings and provinces, and that sedition was stirred up in it of old. That is why it was laid waste. We declare to the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls finished, it will mean that you will have no portion on this side of the Euphrates River. Then the king sent an answer to Rehum, the Persian official, to Shimshai, the scribe, to the rest of their companions who dwell in Samaria and in the rest of the country beyond the river. Greetings. The letter which you sent to us has been plainly read before me. I commanded and search has been made, and it is found that this city, Jerusalem, of old time, has made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made in it. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem who have ruled over all countries beyond the west of the Euphrates River, and tribute and custom and toll were paid to them. Therefore, give a decree to make these men stop, that this city not be rebuilt until a command is given by me. Be sure that you do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? When the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum, Shimshai the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem, to the Jews, and by force and power made them cease. Then the work on the house of God in Jerusalem stopped. It stopped until the second year of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 5. Now the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, grandson of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, whose spirit was upon them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, heir to the throne of Judah, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God in Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God, Haggai and Zechariah, helping them. Then Tattenai, governor on the west side of the Euphrates River, and Shethar Bozenai and their companions came to them and said, "Who authorized you to build this house and to restore this wall?" Then we told them in reply the names of the men who were building this building. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so the enemy could not make them stop until the matter came before Darius the First, and an answer was returned by letter concerning it. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar Bozenai and his associates, the Apharsathites, who were on this west side of the river, sent to Darius the First, the king. They wrote, "To Darius the king, all peace. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Judah, to the house of the great God. It is being built with huge stones, with timber laid in the walls. This work goes on with diligence and care and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders, 'Who authorized you to build this house and restore these walls?' We asked their names also, that we might record the names of the men at their head and notify you. They replied, 'We are servants of the God of heaven and earth, rebuilding the house which was erected and finished many years ago by a great king of Israel. But after our fathers had provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same King Cyrus made a decree to rebuild this house of God, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought into the temple of Babylon. King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon and delivered to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And King Cyrus said to him, 'Go, take these vessels to Jerusalem and carry them into the temple, and let the house of God be built upon its site.' Then came this Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God in Jerusalem. And since that time until now, it has been in the process of being rebuilt, and it is not completed yet. So now, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the royal archives there in Babylon to see if it is true that King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure in this matter. Chapter 6. Then King Darius the First decreed, and a search was made in Babylonia in the house where the treasured records were stored, and at Ecbatana in the capital in the province of Media, a scroll was found on which this was recorded. In the first year of King Cyrus, he made a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the house, the place where they offer sacrifices, be built, and let its foundations be strongly laid, its height and its breadth, each 60 cubits, with three courses of great stones and one course of new timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. Also, let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple in Jerusalem, each put in its place in the house of God. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province west of the river, Shethar-Bozenai, and your associates, the Apharsachites who are west of the river, keep far away from there. Leave the work on this house of God alone. Let the governor and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Moreover, I make a decree as to what you shall do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of this house of God. The cost is to be paid in full to these men at once from the king's revenue, the tribute of the province west of the river, that they may not be hindered. And all they need, including young bulls, rams, and lambs, for the burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the word of the priests at Jerusalem, let it be given them each day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I make a decree that whoever shall change or infringe on this order, let a beam be pulled from his house and erected. Then let him be fastened to it, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. May the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow all kings and peoples who put forth their hands to alter this or to destroy this house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, make a decree. Let it be executed speedily and exactly. Then Tattenai, governor of the province this side of the river, with Shethar-Bozenai and their associates, diligently did what King Darius had decreed. And the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, son of Iddo. They finished their building as commanded by the God of Israel and by the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the returned exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. They offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 young bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of Israel's tribes. And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. The returned exiles kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, for the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together, all of them were clean. So they killed the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their brother priests, and for themselves. It was eaten by the Israelites who had returned from exile, and by all who had joined them and separated themselves from the pollutions of the peoples of the land to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. They kept the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria, referring to Darius, king of Persia, to them so that he strengthened their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we captives sat down. Yes, we wept when we earnestly remembered Zion, the city of our God imprinted on our hearts. On the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. For there they who led us captive required of us a song with words, and our tormentors and they who wasted us required of us mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill with the harp. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I remember you not, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, that they said in the day of Jerusalem's fall, "Down, down to the ground with her." O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, you who ought to be and shall be destroyed, happy and blessed shall he be who requites you as you have served us. Happy and blessed shall he be who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. This is the end of today's scripture reading. When we started today reading in Ezra chapter 4, 5, and 6, we saw something very interesting, that the people who had returned to Judah had begun this great work for which they were sent by the king of Babylon, Cyrus the Persian, and also this was a work that God himself had desired to see come to pass, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. But then we see, as we open in chapter 4, that they were receiving a lot of discouragement and opposition, so much that the work actually stopped, as we saw at the end of chapter 4. Then at the beginning of chapter 5, we see these two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, who came, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord, and then the people rose up and started to rebuild the house of God again. And that was a direct result of the encouragement by these two prophets named Haggai and Zechariah. This shows us the power of encouragement. If you look in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, where it's talking about spiritual gifts, it mentions this powerful statement, and this is from the NIV. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So here we find Haggai and Zechariah strengthening the people, encouraging the people, and comforting the people through their prophetic message. And as a direct result of that, they are strengthened enough to start the work of rebuilding the temple once again, despite the fact that they had been opposed by people in the area who had even written to the king in Babylon, who was no longer Cyrus, who was the one who originally sent them. It was actually two kings later, and they're trying to get the work stopped. They are successful because King Artaxerxes' letter told them to stop the work until a further command comes from him. But then we find the prophets stepping on the scene and encouraging the people to move ahead because they had been sent there by God, because the king himself had given the edict that started that work, and that they were on good legal standing to continue the work since it had been originally ordered by the king, as well as it had been ordered by God himself. I want to point out the power of encouragement in people's lives. Here we have people who became so discouraged, even though they were doing the work of God and the will of God, to the point where they just stopped the work. Then, when two men of God come along and speak words of encouragement to them, they are strengthened enough to resume the work of the Lord. There is power in encouragement. And in fact, we are commanded to be encouragers. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we find out that it's literally our calling. It says this, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us consider how we can encourage one another as the day of the Lord draws near. This is the message of Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. It's a calling on every believer's life to consider how we can encourage each other to love one another and to do good works according to God's will, so that we can do the will of God together. That's the calling of God on our lives. We see these two prophets who come on the scene in the book of Ezra, Haggai and Zechariah, encouraging the Jews to continue the work of God, and they strengthen them by their words. And as a result, the work continued. And then, as we heard in the next chapter, the king had the people look through the archives and did indeed confirm that Cyrus, the previous king of Babylon, had actually been the one who authorized what was happening there in Jerusalem. I found a great definition of encouragement that I'm going to share with you that actually comes from a true story that occurred during World War II. Listen to this, and I hope it'll encourage you to be an encourager. There was an article some years ago in an old guidepost magazine, and it told about a young hospital corpsman who was working during the invasion of Guam during World War II. And suddenly his boat that he was in came to a grinding halt because they had hit a coral reef, and the commanding officer ordered everyone off the ship. So this young hospital corpsman jumped into the ocean, but he sank like a rock because his rifle, his medical pack, his canteen, and his boots dragged him under the water. He forced himself back up above the surface, gasping for air, only to sink again because of the heavy weight. He tried to pull his boots off, but the effort exhausted him, and he suddenly realized he was not going to make it. Just then, he saw a man thrashing in the water next to him, and in desperation, he clutched onto him. That proved enough to hold him up, and he got to the reef where he was later picked up by a rescue boat. But the young hospital corpsman felt so guilty about grabbing that drowning man to save himself that he never told anybody what had happened out there. About 6 months later, while he was on shore leave in San Francisco, he stopped in a restaurant, and there was a sailor in uniform who waved him over to sit by him. As he did that, he told to his friends, "This is my buddy. He saved my life." The young hospital corpsman said, "What are you talking about?" The man replied, "Don't you remember? We were in the water together at Guam. You grabbed onto me. I was going down and you held me up." I thought that was the great definition of encouragement. I was going down and you held me up. Isn't that what encouragement is? Someone struggling. In this case, this guy was struggling in the water and thought he would drown. He thought that this other guy held him up and kept him going until he was rescued. "I was going down and you held me up." That's what was happening back in the book of Ezra. The people were trying to do the work, but the discouragement and the enemies who tried to stop them literally did stop the work. and they were going down. And then Haggai and Zechariah came along and held them up, and they were able to complete the work God had assigned for them. You can be an encourager in someone's life. Maybe your pastor, maybe someone that you know who's doing a good work, but the opposition they faced, the difficulties they faced, has really gotten them down, and it's threatening to stop the work altogether. God wants to use you as an encourager. Just like the book of Hebrews exhorted us, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Encouraging one another. God wants to use you. You may not think you have any great ministry, but I'll tell you something. The ministry of encouragement is very powerful. The word encouragement actually means to impart courage to someone. It means to strengthen someone. It also means to exhort or urge someone to pursue a course of conduct. And as I mentioned earlier, a good definition is, you pulled me up when I was going down. I want to exhort you today to look for people this week that you can encourage. Encourage someone who's doing a good work to continue that good work. You have no idea how discouraged they actually may be, though they may appear to be moving on just fine. People who are working hard for the Lord and to do what is right in the sight of God need encouragement. You may need to encourage someone who just needs to be strengthened or who needs to have courage imparted to them to get up and continue in their lives. Someone you know may be really struggling with the difficulties that they are facing in their life, and they may feel like they're going down fast. You could be used by God to pull them up. God wants to use you as a vessel of encouragement that will encourage others to continue to do good works, to love one another, and to keep people from being defeated. Look for someone this week that you can be a minister of encouragement to, and it'll bless you as much as it blesses them. Have a victorious week.